Well, welcome to the Fit Chap. My name is Chaplain Jason Phipps, and this is a podcast devoted to the fitness and well-being of prospective chaplains in the United States Army. And it's a great pleasure to be with you this month, and we're kind of cranking this podcast out a little bit later than normal, and it's just been a busy time of year. So tomorrow, Chabola Class 23-003 is graduating. As cadre, we're excited. The students certainly are excited. I'm sure many of the families who are going to be reuniting with their students are going to be very excited to have that time back. And so it'll be a joyous occasion. With that being said, I have on the show this month two of those graduating students. First Lieutenant Chad Smith, and he is a chaplain candidate currently serving in the Indiana National Guard. We also have Chaplain First Lieutenant Jacob Jong, who is on active duty, and he will be reporting to 3rd Brigade 82nd Airborne Division here in a few weeks. So very excited for him. Coming from 2nd Brigade myself, super pumped that he's going All-American. Thank you both for volunteering to be a part of this.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So, like I said, we're done. Everything is done. These guys are less than 24 hours away from being branch qualified. And so we're excited to send them on their way. But I wanted to give them both an opportunity to introduce themselves and just talk a little bit about their history, how they came into the Chaplain Corps, and perhaps what their future is going to look like. So, Lieutenant Smith, let's start with you first.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks again for having me.
Of course.
First Lieutenant Chaplain Candidate Chad Smith. As you stated, I'm with the Indiana National Guard. I've been in going on year four. Kind of funny story I want to tell people is whenever I got sworn in, it was during COVID. So I got sworn in virtually. So I had to order a flag on Amazon to have behind me.
It's crazy that's normalized now, but
Yeah, so it was kind of funny. I had a buddy who was a major actually swear me in over my cell phone.
Unbelievable.
So that's pretty cool. But I'm originally from Georgia, so if there's a little southern twang, there's that. I actually, my background is strength and conditioning, so I have my first master's degree in exercise science, and that brought me into the world of contracting with the H2F program, the Holistic Health and Fitness Program.
Which dovetails very well into this podcast, so maybe you can expand on that
and
later.
That actually dovetails really well into my how I got my call to be a chaplain. So my second master's degree, it was in Christian apologetics. And in the fitness world, it's kind of funny. I was running classes and courses with H2F, and I would have a lot of students who are National Guard soldiers come up to me afterwards because I would mention I had a master's degree in religion, and we would get into spiritual conversations. And I actually mentioned this to my contracting office, and they were like, hey, you can't do that. That's, you know, you can't proselytize pretty much on, you know, as you're being paid by us, which I understand. It's professional. The very next month, whenever, you know, I had that conversation, I had to train the chaplains of the Indiana National Guard. And I mentioned I had my master's in religion, and they're like, oh, have you ever thought about serving as a chaplain? You know, lo and behold, I'm like, no, I haven't actually. I've never thought about that. I mean, heavily involved with my church, and I've always had a bivocational calling. You know, I've always wanted to minister to student athletes at college levels and things like that as a strength coach. But that was different for the military, right? Because I'm not seeing the athletes, the tactical athletes, every single day. I'm only seeing them once a month or maybe every quarter. So I was like, this could be a real thing. So I remember going home that night and talking to my wife about it and saying, hey, what would you feel about me, you know, being an Army chaplain? Of course, she had 1,000 questions. I also had 1,000 questions because nobody in my immediate family is military. So it was probably a 6-month process for me to, you know, sit down, pray about it, have conversations with my wife and the state chaplain. Definitely felt more and more, you know, God pulling my heart to say, hey, you know, come be a part of this ministry.
That's good stuff.
That led me here. Yep. I have 2 more seminary courses left as a candidate. So hopefully I'll graduate in May 24 and hopefully I'll get my cross pinned on me and we'll be fully good to go there.
Rocking and rolling. Lieutenant Smith, who are you endorsed by right now?
So I'm endorsed by Venture Church Network, previously known as Conservative Baptist of America. Give a shout out to Chaplain Wareho, who's also part of my endorsing agency.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you sharing.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Smith. Chaplain Jong, going all American, going airborne. Tell me, what was it that God put on your heart to come into the Chaplain Corps?
Well, thank you for having me, sir.
Absolutely.
So my story is I was originally born in China. Both my parents are pastors in Underground House Church. So since I was a child, my family and I, we went through a lot of persecution. So my family, just example, like my family being raided for a couple of times. And my father was in the Chinese government, put him in jail a couple of times because of his faith. So I kind of came to U.S. kind of like a refugee. So since I was, I went to prison to visit my dad. And that image is still very vivid in my mind, even we're talking right now. And I personally got kicked out from high school because I refused to join the communism youth group.
Oh, wow.
And so I never had a high school diploma until today. So, yeah.
Until like today, like as in?
I still don't have it.
Oh, okay. So December 13th,
yeah.
2023, still don't have a high school diploma. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
And then, so I came to U.S. So since my childhood experienced this, so in my heart, I have a very, very deep desire for freedom. And I really treasure the freedom that we have here in the United States, that we can practice our faith freely. So I came to U.S. when I was 21. I got a very special exception by Dallas Baptist University. And so I got both my bachelor and two of my master degree. One is the Christian ministry chaplaincy program. So I graduated from school in 2015. By the way, I met my wife. She's also Chinese. And we met each other in the Chinese fellowship. And in 2015, after I graduated, God called me to be a church planter in Seattle. So Seattle, and in 5 years, we planted a Chinese-speaking church in one of the richest area in Seattle. The church grew from just me and my wife to a 100-person congregation. By the fifth year, I feel God is showing me a new direction. I start looking for a new pastor to replace my position, and I pray. My wife and I, we pray and seek God's direction. God opened the door finally. It's kind of like my childhood dream come true. Mm. And God opened the door for me to have the opportunity to become RV chaplain. And so we moved to Dallas and prepare ourselves to become active duty chaplain. That's like a short version of my story.
Two very different testimonies with regards to how you came into the chaplain corps, but dynamic both nonetheless. And that's one of the things that I love about the chaplain corps is the fact that we have individuals like you all who come from very diverse backgrounds, and you have much to contribute to the chaplain corps as a result of your experience, what God has placed on your heart, perhaps outside of the chaplain corps, outside of full-time ministry, but nevertheless is enhancing your ministry, be it your background, your socioeconomic background, or obviously being a personal trainer. There will be many opportunities to dovetail that type of experience into your ministry. So let's just get into the meat of it. You guys have been here for 13 weeks. You're graduating tomorrow. What was going through your mind when you got here day zero? And either one of you can jump in on that question.
Day zero, I feel like I'm pretty unique. I'm one of two students in our class that actually lives here in South Carolina, which I know is funny because I'm in the Indiana Guard. That's a whole different story. But, I'm only 45 minutes away. So for me, was there still nerves? Was it still kind of nerve-wracking? Absolutely. But I just remember walking up that hill for the first time thinking, man, we're going to walk up this thing every single day, multiple times a day, and it's, of course, still in September in Columbia, still hot. So I'm standing in line, sweating, having the sergeants walk coming down the line, stand like this, turn this way, stay quiet, just really starting that military feel. In my mind, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, well, this is it. We finally made it as a candidate, what I've been looking for, and here we are.
I had this similar feeling. First day I got here, I told myself, hey, I'm finally here, because for me, it's a long waiting process to be active duty chaplain. And finally, I'm here at the Chibolic. And after Chibolic, I'm going to a very legendary unit to serve. So I'm excited, but also nervous. And I don't know what's going to happen during this process. But one thing I really appreciate when it comes to today, when it's almost the graduation, is our SGLs and sergeants keep telling us that trust the process. When they are talking about this, I think they're speaking in a military way, but I took it and I interpreted it to a spiritual way. I'm praying. I said, God, I've been heard, trust the process. And I'm not only going to trust the Army's process, but also I'm going to trust your process. And I know you brought me here and you have a destiny, you have a mission for me. and you call me to be here, and I just need to trust you.
Chaplain Zhang, I'm glad that you mentioned trust the process. It's interesting that you say that, because we were talking with the spouses today about the transition from the reserves to the active component, and how there is a period of time, a transitional period of time, where you're just waiting. Maybe the board has met, and the chief has approved the slate of individuals who are going from one of the guard or reserve components to active, but you're still waiting, and you don't know when you're going to get an answer. And my wife said to the spouses exactly that, trust the process, which is obviously rooted in the decisions of human beings, but just everything that we do in life, we have the great opportunity to approach that with God's divine providence in our lives. And I would certainly say that that is something integral that we bring to the lives of the people that we minister to, soldiers, commanders, etc. In explaining what that means from perhaps a more spiritual perspective, trust the process, but it is something that I would say, even in my time in the Army, has been ingrained more within my mind than it has at any other point. But there's evidence of that process throughout one's career as a chaplain. Okay, so day zero, obviously the expectations are high, the stress might be a little high because you don't know what's going to happen next, and it's the Army. Even if you come here with the stereotype of the Army in your mind of, like, you know, full metal jacket or something else, platoon or some other product of Hollywood that has embedded this image in your mind of what the Army is like, that can create some stress. I understand that. It doesn't help that you have a course manager, maybe an SGL or two that are yelling at you, along with the drill sergeants and the platoon sergeants. You get past that, though, and you realize, okay, there are some things that we really need to focus in on. What were those things that you all, in your opinion, and it could be either classroom time or more of kind of experiential learning, what are those things that you realized as an individual and perhaps even as a class that you all needed to focus on to do well in this course and to be prepared?
Yeah, to be prepared and do well in this course, I can't state it enough, is just communication. You know, I felt like we didn't have 30 different group chats going on. Really, we had one Signal app, one WhatsApp. Signal app was the entire class. The WhatsApp was just our platoon. I felt like that worked really well. And then, of course, our squads within our platoons just had a group text message chain. So for me, I know I went to MFT school whenever it was still MFT school, and there were a ton of different chats. And, you know, you would get lost in the sauce on what information got pushed out where, what happened here. And I would say that that was very beneficial as far as, you know, what is the information the entire class needs to know? What does just our platoon need to know? What does just our squad need to know?
Sure.
So I would say that was extremely helpful, being able to communicate. And that did take some time. And I'm still thinking, you have anything off the top of your head, John?
Yeah, one thing come to my mind is I think many students who coming to Tribolic, they worry about their PT and they don't know how they're going to do it. Are they going to do well or not? You know, for me, it's like in the past, before I become active duty chaplain, I never, you know, I'm a minister because I never seriously did PT. And just one example, if people ask me, hey, can we play soccer? My question will be, which console? So when I came here, I was a little bit nervous about all the morning PT sessions. But I would encourage anyone who listened to this podcast and going to join the Tribolic training, I would just say, try to just participate in every PT that we have and just come back to what I said, trust the process. One thing that come to the very end is, like, the last week we did a couple runs, like even 2.5 mile run. In the past, I was just like, man, this is killing me. This is 2.5 mile. How can I finish? But come to the last week of Tribolic, I did it. I just feel very, very comfortable. I was like, this is awesome. This is great. This is a great run. So yeah, so that's something I want to share, and I want to encourage anyone who come here and worry about PT, just try to participate every PT you can.
And that's a great point to make, Chaplain Zhang, because as we've talked about before, PT is integral to your career as a chaplain and as an Army officer. We stress, obviously, the importance of maintaining your pastoral identity, and that's very easy for students to transition into that role during Tribolic and even beyond graduation as they enter into their follow-on assignments and forget that there are many other things that we need to maintain regularly, as well as, you know, our staff officer skills and abilities, PT, physical fitness, good sleep schedule, good eating habits, And then this applies to any work situation, but a good work-life balance. So you're taking leave when you are supposed to take leave. You're spending time with your family, just as if you were going on a sabbatical or taking time off from the pulpit. So you need to do the same thing with your time in the Army as well. What have been, Chaplain Zhang, you kind of talked about a challenge that you managed to overcome in terms of PT. You know, you talked about playing soccer on an Xbox or something. Now you could probably go back and play soccer on an actual field and maybe get after it. But what are some other challenges that you all have dealt with that you have been able to overcome that at first maybe didn't seem very realistic?
For me, it's like, because before I become chaplain, Army chaplain, I never had any military experience.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the acronym and we have for the first couple weeks, like, I have no idea about it. I would say, like, what I did is, a lot of my classmates who had pre-service experience, and they helped me a lot. And also, I ask around. So that's something I want to encourage our future Chibolic students, never afraid to ask around. Everybody in Chibolic class are very friendly and kind, and they're willing to help you and answer any question that you think this may be a dumb and simple or stupid question, but they take it seriously, and they try to help you as the best that they can.
Piggyback on the previous comment was one of the challenges for me, background in lifting. I played college sports, and I've done that route. I've never really been a distance runner. I mean, can see me, you know, I don't look like a stereotypical runner.
Right.
But I would say that was one of the things I knew I had to prepare for. And even then, I was doing sprints, you know, on my own coming up to this. So the first mile and a half, 2 mile runs we had, it was a struggle. It was a lot of mental, a lot of, you know, of course, physical as well. But I would say, I think the first week we were here during DCC, you know, Sergeant Mott even said, hey, you know, during the 5 mile run, you know, you're going to see a lot of these people fall out for sick call. I don't think we didn't have very many fall out for that. Whenever we got to our 5 mile run, and you know, I did it, I made it. I think I ended up running 5 miles in like 51 minutes or something like that, which for me, I'm very proud of myself for doing that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for me just to get up and go run 5 miles would be insane.
Right.
So that, I would say, definitely just the cardio aspect, because, you know, I'm way more of a power lifter, Olympic lifter, you know, short burst, that stuff, you know, but definitely being here, that's something I want to continue when I go home as well, is keep that cardio up. Because on drill weekends, of course, we're going to run. And as officers, we need to be towards the front of the pack.
Right.
So that was definitely one thing. And just like you said, not being afraid to ask the questions and ask for help if you don't know what to do or where to be or what's going on. Even the people who have been in and have prior experience, this is still a new course. It's still a new avenue. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about the chaplaincy, is that we are a unique branch. Like, we are so unique to the military. And you know, some of the things that we may do may be a little different, but there's a reason and a purpose behind it. Definitely don't be afraid to ask questions.
The challenges that you all are talking about, did you feel like the students around you, did they come alongside you to encourage you in those unique ways or help you to overcome those challenges to get better in those areas of development?
Yes.
Or was it an individual experience?
Yes, of course. I, it's not like an individual, but like everybody. Like, I even ask people from a different platoon. People just always willing and happy to help me.
Good.
Oh, yeah. And just some examples off the top of my head is, you know, before the first ruck march, we had people who had no clue how to pack a ruck.
Yeah.
And just seeking out to people, okay, you've done this before. How are we supposed to pack this? Do the heavier things go on the bottom or on the top, or, you know, shooter's choice?
Right.
And then with our AGSU inspections, I remember a big group of us got together in just the hotel lobby and just, hey, can you look over this for us? I believe the same thing with the ACFT. It was, okay, well, what do we need to bring? What do we need to do? What should we expect? Even though we had a course on it, it's still, you know, still have the nerves there because it's a test.
Right.
So there were a lot of things that we got together on as a whole class and really just tried to hash things out. And I feel like that, one, brought us together, and two, that kind of killed those nerves for, you know, some of the things that we are graded on.
I'm kind of curious how morale was. I've talked about heavy emphasis on road marches. Some of my previous podcasts, I've talked about road marches, talked about the importance of doing that, being able to move tactically with other soldiers, being able to embrace that suck of having to move a long distance on foot, because that's why we're the Army and not the Air Force or the Navy. We move on foot or in tactical vehicles. So we are looking to increase the intensity of the road march standards with future classes. And I won't go into those details because those are under review right now and they have not been finalized. But I did, nevertheless, I wanted to ask you all, when we got to the end of Capstone last week, so Capstone, as you all know, is a 3-day field exercise. We road marched 4 miles in, and then you guys are on your feet for like 3 days.
Yeah.
You're looking at maybe like 20 miles total for that time. And then you do a 6-mile road march out at like at 3:30 in the morning. How was morale? How did that experience affect you all, affect others in the class, if you can recall that day that might live in infamy in the minds of some?
Nah. In all honesty, I think it, at that point, I don't think the mileage or the amount mattered.
Yeah.
I think it was just, hey, our stuff's packed. It's on our back. Let's pound sand and let's get out of here.
Sure.
I think that's where everybody was at that point.
Right.
And I'm not saying we weren't just completely just exhausted and over it. I think morale at that point was still pretty high, but it was, hey, this is the last thing you do to make it back to home pretty much. I don't know. I feel pretty confident in our class that if it was 10 miles, 12 miles, whatever it may be, I feel like it would have, hey, let's do it. We'll eat this sandwich one bite at a time.
Right.
I think Capstone really built up the team. It's kind of like, I personally feel that that's the pick moment of the whole Chipotle. You know, I never feel like, hey, this sucks or this is bad. I feel like this gave me a lot of realistic experience about what I'm going into.
Yeah.
When I go to my unit, you know, because I just speak with my Bergie chaplain. His 82nd is high-speed unit. And he said, hey, Chaplain John, you need to be ready. And we're going to GRTC in September. You know, for me, it's like, what is GRTC? And so I asked our classmates here, and he said, well, GRTC is like a one-month version of Capstone. So that gave me a really good idea about what I'm going into. And I think Capstone really built up my confidence.
That's good to hear. The vast majority of students that get out of an experience like Capstone, they gain perspective because, you know, that was 3 days, but JRTC, you're going to be in the box for like a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, multiply that by a few weeks and that'll be JRTC. But you're doing ministry. You're not a student. You're going out and you're doing ministry. You're hanging out with like your snipers and your recon elements and all those fun people that you've been waiting so eagerly to conduct ministry with. Most people come out of an experience like that having, like I said, perspective. I remember distinctly when I was a student yelling at somebody because just out of exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And what I gained from that experience was I remember I was in the front of a light platoon, the first rank, and I turned around because somebody was not paying attention to our PL. And I turned back and I yelled at that person like, shut up, like pay attention, shut up. And there was he was like a couple ranks back. And there was a student right behind me who I felt bad because, like, he was in my line of sight when I was yelling at him. And he very kindly said, hey, Chaplain Phipps, Jason, it's okay. It's all right. And he calmed me down in that moment. I was just like, this is a good experience to have, to see how I respond out of my exhaustion and to see another chaplain come alongside me and bring some calm in the midst of that chaos. So it is true. Like, I know we say that, like, we bring calm in the midst of the chaos, but it really does happen. You all will bring calm in the midst of chaos, and that's a good thing. That will bless your soldiers as you do that faithfully. What were some of the highlights, I should say? I know we talked about challenges. You were able to overcome those challenges, but what were some of the natural highlights that you experienced throughout your time? Like, maybe it was something was revealed to you and you're like, wow, this is really cool. I did not know this. Maybe it was being around somebody that you'd never been around before. And that was like just a fascinating time for you. What were some of the highlights that you guys had?
Yeah. Actually I have four that kind of come to mind. The first two are going to be pretty quick. I mean, the gas chamber, right?
Yeah.
I mean, running out of the gas chamber, that's definitely a highlight.
Yeah.
Because you hear about it. Our state chaplain in Indiana actually, you know, would kind of poke fun at us like, hey, they're doing gas chamber today. You want to go? No, just wait till Chipotle. and you're just kind of building that suspense. Yeah. That was probably the most nerve-wracking for me, you know, marching into the gas chamber for the first time. However, doing it and running out of there, you know, would I do it again? Maybe not willingly, but if I had to, I would.
Right.
The second one is going to be, you know, Victory Tower. I mean, I'm not scared of heights per se. But the day we went, it was, you know, kind of raining. Everything was a little wet.
That's right. It was raining that day.
That definitely had my heart rate going. And I will say this, having the SGLs actually up there, you know, rigging us up and being there and kind of joking around with us, that definitely helped. And as I'm on that, it was really cool to have you guys at PT every morning. Because even as a contractor, you know, we'll run a week or a 10-day course, you know, we've got to be up there zero dark 30 for PT and all these things. And that wears on you.
Sure.
And you guys are here, you know, with us the entire time. So, you know, that's something I definitely told Chaplain Gender, like, hey, I've really appreciated you being here and being kind of in the suck with us. Right.
Right.
So that's been helpful. So Victor Towers too. Oh gosh. Now I'm missing them. Oh no. What were the other two? I'm thinking about them. You got any? And then I'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah. We can come back. Jump in Chaplain Jong, if you got something.
I noticed the day I finished ACFD.
Yep.
I sense there's a big release in our team because everybody was nervous before that. But you know, we had I believe everybody did really pretty well at ACFD. Everyone's ACFD score is like higher than they expected.
Everyone passed.
Yeah, everyone passed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. And it is. And after that, I think the team, the whole Chibola class, and you know, have a release. And, you know, I learned from Chibolic while we're talking, it just come to my mind is there's no, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it says like this, is there's nothing better than to build up a team than suffering together. Lieutenant Smith mentioned about Victory Tower, the guest chamber, we did all of them together. Mm-hmm. And we got, you know, smoke together, we got PT together.
Yes.
And, you know, during when you were in the process, you were like, man, this is bad. This is no good. I'm hurting. It's painful. But after you did it together, I don't know why, it just built a very unique connection with each other. And I think that's something I wanted to bring it when I serve in my future unit. I want to remember that.
It's good stuff.
So one of the things that I forgot to mention earlier was just going through and learning the staff officer side of things. Because that's definitely a new perspective for me.
Sure.
Especially as a candidate, Indiana, we've had some assignments where it's a mock brief or a mock religious support plan or things like that. But it's once you're actually, I don't necessarily want to say graded on a go or no go necessarily of, hey, here's your op board. Here's what you need to look at. Here's what you need to present to your, you know, fake BC, which was our SGLs.
Right.
And just seeing that side of the Army officer, that was very eye opening to me, which I think it was for a lot of the class as well. But definitely very applicable. And in the back of my mind, you know, it's also after these classes, I'm like, man, like that's a side of chaplaincy I didn't know I had. But it's also, this is a really unique opportunity to minister to your commander, to your sergeant major, to your other S shops and everybody else, you know, just showing up with a thing of coffee or donuts or something and just saying, hey guys, you know, here it is. We're here together.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool experience to learn that side of the house.
One more thing I want to share is one thing that my personal experience is the when we learn about the medical.
Mystiff lanes.
When we're taking the class, I was thinking, you know, I'm the chaplain. This is something I'm probably going to need to do in the future. And I don't want to miss a single word that this drill sergeant says, because I will definitely use this. Mm-hmm. So after I finished the whole course, it really comforted me in knowing that in the future, I can use the skills that I learned to actually save somebody. You know, as a chaplain, our mission is to save people's soul, but we need to save people's lives to keep them alive, to save their souls. And
and
I believe that's something that course really changed me.
Both of you are evidence of adaptability. The older you get, the harder, stereotypically, the harder it is to adapt to something because you become more ingrained with your own kind of cultural norms, if you will. One question I want to ask, and then I have one more question for you both to answer. As you have entered into a pluralistic environment, how has that adaptation been? We had a very spiritually, religiously diverse class. I think this is the first time we had like 3 Buddhists in our class. And then we had 2 rabbis, we had an imam. So how was that experience for you? How did you all adapt to that?
I mentioned about at the beginning of our conversation, you know, I come from China and when I was a child. And so we experienced a lot of persecution. So in China, actually, I had a very unique experience to work with Catholic. They're also under persecution too. And so I remember when I was serving in a college fellowship, I met this group of Catholic, we call underground Catholic church college students. And we're talking about how can we do stuff together. and we'll just look at each other or say, hey, we're all under persecution. Let's not argue with our theology, but seek common ground and to serve together and work together. That experience kept me to come to Chibolik, willing to open to, sir, you mentioned about Rabbi, you know, I really had some really good time talk about Old Testament with our Rabbi students.
Yeah, we had they're great to talk to.
I personally had a really good time. I even called my wife and told her that what I learned from the Rabbi, and it's just like, it's awesome. I also learned from my imam friend. He showed something that makes me to think more about my own ministry. Also, the Buddhist chaplain, one is also Chinese. I had a really good conversation with him because we both from China, we had this culture background.
Yeah.
We exchanged our contact info. It was like, hey, definitely in the future, we need to communicate each other.
That's awesome to hear about that collaboration that you had.
From my perspective, I mean, it definitely, I don't want to say there were personal stereotypes, but I feel like for every religious group, you're going to have a stereotype, right? And I feel like this definitely broke those down. You know, same thing you were saying, that there were definitely conversations about the Old Testament with both the rabbis that were just really cool to have.
Yeah.
Because just to see their perspective on it and to get, you know, kind of their insight on some of the Old Testament passages was really cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, for Capstone, to have them, you know, celebrate the first day of Hanukkah and allow all of us to see that tradition of theirs was really cool. I don't think I've ever been asked to attend something like that before. And then on the other side of that, you know, our imam, I mean, every time he would give a devotion or a prayer or something, he was quoting his scripture off the top of his head. You know, I mean, not just, you know, one or two sentences. I mean, just chapters of stuff, which I'm like, man, that really validates his religious ideology and his religious view. And I'm like, that's something I definitely would like to be able to do in my own personal ministry.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, some of the Buddhist monks we had, they're just the most genuine, awesome people I've been around. We went to a Buddhist festival that was here in Colombia while we were here. It was really cool to see, you know, how they interact with one another, just to see how they are just themselves. It was really cool to be around all those, you know, diverse religious backgrounds. And then also even for the Protestants who were in the group, I mean, we had a ton of people from many different countries. I don't know how many countries we had represented here, but man,
a lot.
But that was also really, really cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as we wrap up, what is one thing that you would want a new chaplain student to know before they arrive?
One thing I would say is, we've already kind of mentioned it before, be adaptable. And I think that's army-wide. But for someone coming in straight off the streets, things are always kind of subject to change. I mean, whenever they do change, don't let it frustrate you.
Yeah.
I mean, don't let it get at you. I mean, things happen. Life happens. That's my first point. My second point is your ministry doesn't stop. I mean, there were tons of times where I had to go to one of my classmates and say, hey, man, this is going on at home. Will you pray with me? We had a prayer book at the front of the class where we could go and write prayers, and students would get it and pray for one another. That was very helpful. I know we had a Wednesday night prayer group. We had a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning kind of deal as well amongst the class. So your ministry doesn't necessarily stop just because you're in school.
Right.
So
I will say this is what I learned at the beginning of the course. I think it's really helpful. Be at the right time, the right place, with the right uniform.
Boom.
With the right attitude.
There you go.
Fine.
Enough said.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's perfect. You cannot overemphasize that philosophy enough with regard to the Army. So I appreciate you sharing that. Well, gentlemen, it's been great to have you both on. Congratulations to both of you. All you have to do is just like make it through the day, like breathe, be upright and ambulatory at this point, and then go through a few more rehearsals in the morning. Lieutenant Smith, Chaplain Jung, thank you for joining us on the Fit Chap this month. God bless you. Bye-bye.